WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbite. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbite. It is, Saturday.
And October 12th.
It's the 12th of October in 2002. You are listening to Soundbite. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Jesse Graff.
And I'm Amelia Francesco.
And we are Soundbites. Wasn't that an exciting game? Okay.
How much time are we going to overtime?
We are going to, yes, I did too. And we are going to take your calls at the numbers you just heard. In the meantime, we're going to start off with a little bit of news, and we'll start with Dave.
Folks have to be aware that, sit down again, that Microsoft Outlook Express found another flaw in both the version 5
or some other F word.
Really? They found this major flaw that literally hackers can get in through your email and wind up taking over your machine and literally wiping everything out if they want to. So they have put out another, security patch to correct this. So you're definitely going to want to go to the Microsoft website and get this latest patch if you are, in fact, using Microsoft Outlook Express, which by default, 90% of the world still does, and I don't know why.
Yeah, right. From the war phoning department. War phoning is a new thing that's going on. Bluetooth-enabled phones and PDAs. This relates directly to our poll of the week. Bluetooth is a short-range radio signal. When two Bluetooth-enabled products get together, they can discover each other and send data back and forth. So if you have a Bluetooth-enabled printer, for example, you just put it near your computer, and your computer will discover that it's there and use it. This is useful for PDAs as well. If you have a Bluetooth PDA, you don't have to put it in a cradle. You
cool.
Just bring it near your
yeah.
computer and you win. However, Bluetooth-enabled phones and PDAs with inadequate security could become the target of the next wave of security exploits, allowing phone freakers to filch confidential information and even make calls using someone else's identity.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Thank you. Such war phoning exploits, as they have been dubbed, arise because security features on Bluetooth-enabled devices are sometimes turned off by default. The technical director of RSA Security reports that many devices permit access without requesting a pairing code, opening the door to all manners of abuse, stealing personal data of passersby, or even making calls on other phones. What can happen is I can walk down the street with my little Bluetooth device and discover your PDA, wander around inside it and pick out data that I like. Maybe you keep your credit card information and your PIN okay. numbers in your PDA. How many of us do that?
Yeah, really.
If it's Bluetooth-enabled and you haven't turned on security, I can get that stuff. So if you have a Bluetooth-enabled device or are thinking of getting one, you seriously want to pay some attention to the security. We're going to go to the phones now at the numbers you know so well. And our first caller is Carol. Welcome, Carol. What's your question?
Hi. I sent an email. I'm Oakland 80, in case anybody wanted to know.
Okay.
I sent an email to Soundbite. And asking how to put the picture under the name. I was reading everybody else's information in Soundbite. I followed the instructions. I'm totally confused.
Yeah. here's what happens. What Carol is talking about is in the forums, in the Soundbites forums.
Right.
You can put your picture, it's called an avatar, under your name. For example, I currently have that disgusting, ugly, smiling dog.
Would you dig that up?
It's some picture that Lollygag found and stuck up on this. It's a horrible, ugly dog. He's going to only be up there a little while, but I couldn't help myself. I just was overcome last night. Anyway.
Late night, huh?
Late night, and there you have it. What you do is you create on your machine whatever picture you want. The size has to be a maximum of 80 pixels across and 80 pixels down.
Okay, this is 43 by 43. It is a JPEG.
It is smaller than 6K.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. It just said it had to be 50 by 50. This is 43 by 43.
Right, but it also has to be smaller than 6K.
Correct.
Then what you do is, if it's on your machine, you hit the browse button, go find it, just the way you would a document or whatever else.
Yeah.
Double click on it, and then that name goes into the line there, and you hit submit, and it gets installed.
Okay.
If you get an error message at the top, if it comes back to the screen and there's an error message at the top, then read the error message and figure out what it didn't like, the size or whatever. If it's on somebody else's site, first you have to have their permission to use it. And again, it has to be less than whatever the sizes are.
Okay.
And then you can do that.
Okay, I followed your instructions by going into Google Images.
Okay.
And I found one. It said it was a JPEG. I found one that was a JPEG. I found one that was a GIF.
Okay.
Okay.
Either of those should work.
Right, okay. I put it into my favorites, transferred it from my favorites to my documents. So I could pull it up through the profile screen.
Right, right.
Okay, I did that, and there's two lines. It says URL line, and there's a line above.
Right.
It's in the line above, but I don't know how to get it to the line below, the URL line, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right, well, here's what you should do.
Okay.
You should go to that picture on Google.
Uh-huh.
Right-click on it.
Right.
And one of the choices will be Save Image As.
Oh, okay.
And then you save it to your computer.
Then you can, from there,
then you go to that browse button we were just talking about. And that's the way to do it.
Okay, because I'm reading everybody else's notes in the forum on how to do this.
Yeah, they didn't understand the way you were getting at it. They assumed it was already on your computer.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
There you go.
That's why I was so confused. I'm going, I'm following everybody's instructions, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Now, that should fix it for you. Okay, Linda?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Our next caller, Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I have a problem. It just came up a few days ago. I'm not sure if it's something I did wrong or not.
Go ahead.
Hey. Go ahead, Roger. What's your question?
What happens is when I double-click any normal file, this doesn't pertain to icons, but... You know, just your common yellow files?
Yep.
Okay. Every time I double-click any one of them on the C drive, it doesn't matter which one it is, all I get up is the search with the little doggy there. I got XP Home Edition.
Mm-hmm. What antivirus program are you running?
That was going to be right.
I'm running Norton's 2000.
When was the last time you updated it?
Oh, probably a few days ago.
This is classic, one of the many viruses that's going around.
I got two viruses just the other day in my email, but Norton said they fixed it.
Roger, what you might want to do is if you go up to the McAfee website, even though you're running Norton, McAfee has this great little utility up there. If you look at the bugbear virus, which is going around right now, they have a utility up there. It's called Stinger. And it's a little program that you download. You expand it into a certain folder and double-click on the icon that says Stinger. And what that will do is open up this little program. It will look for bugbear, Klez, and Elkhorn, along with 13 other viruses right now that are doing serious damage to machines. Bugbear went in just a short 3 days from a very low risk virus to a high risk virus, and it's they're going around and doing a lot of damage. It'll sit there and disable your Norton or your McAfee or AVG and make her totally render it useless, and allowing other viruses then to get in and do havoc, which is stealing passwords, taking secure files, allow your personal information, and leaves you open for a lot of, people just to hack in and do what they want.
Okay, so I go to the McAfee website.
Yeah.
And then download a program called Stinger?
Stinger.
Okay. What is it, just McAfee.com?
Yeah, McAfee.com. Matter of fact, if you look at the bugbear virus, if you do... you know, because they list their viruses there, which is serious ones. If you click on the bugbear, right in there, as it's telling you about bugbear, it will have that utility. They reference it called Stinger.
Okay. But did you ever hear of such a thing that... Why would it? Why would every time I click, just for out of curiosity, why every time I would double click a just a normal yellow folder, I always get to search, you know, with the little doggy there?
What's happened is that the virus has taken away the links to all of those icons.
Oh, okay. But you know what I can do? If I right click any yellow file, I can open it. It will open if I...
Right. You are describing what the virus does.
Okay. Okay. So, thanks very much. You know what? I'm going to do that right now.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes, with Dave Enright, Jesse Graff, Amelia Francesco, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest radio show on the unknown universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
If you want your car to run like a well-oiled machine, bring it to the place that works like one. Jiffy Lube, the well-oiled machine.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Li & Li to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge coolants water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases started only $99, including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call Frozen CPU at 1-877-243-8266.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104. Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
The following has been paid for by Christine Salzberg for Assembly.
A mother, a nurse, a teacher. Christine Salzberg is all of these. And when you think about the kind of person you want speaking for us in Albany, wouldn't it be nice if they had some real-life experience with the issues we care about? Christine Salzberg, a registered nurse for more than 30 years. She's seen it all. Emergency room, intensive care, pediatric ward. And what's happened to healthcare in the last few years. HMOs, bureaucratic red tape, limits on this, referrals for that. Everything takes longer. Doctors and nurses always short-handed. Hospitals understaffed. Christine Salzberg is not the kind of politician you're used to seeing, back-slapping, kissing babies. But she has worked through the night caring for a baby struggling for life in a hospital intensive care unit. Isn't it time to have at least one person like Christine Salzberg in the State Assembly? Christine Salzberg, a change for the better.
Oh, cool. Free puppies.
You'd expect some things to be free.
May I have my dinner, please?
But never a weekend of new hit movies. Watch one more Starz Free Movie Weekend, October 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's your last chance to see Pearl Harbor, Serendipity, Spy Game, America's Sweetheart, and more great movies all for free. It's your last chance to see the Starz Free Movie Weekend, October 11th, 12th, and 13th. Just turn to Starz or call 1-800-SUPERBACK.
Availability may vary.
Thousand watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
It's true, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Jesse Graff.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Liz from Irondequoit. Welcome, Liz. What's your question?
Okay, my question is, I think I have a virus of the magnitude I don't know what to do with. My Internet Explorer got extremely slow.
Uh-huh.
My brother suggested I go to your site and check Adware and the Zone Alarm.
Yeah.
So I downloaded both of them. Adware just told me I had all kinds of stuff, so I emptied my cookies file. I've done everything. My McAfee will not update.
You've probably got the Klez virus.
I don't, well, it doesn't show because I went to the McAfee site and I did their directions. Yeah.
One of the things that the McAfee program does is prevent the virus checker from running correctly.
Yeah, I know that. And then I went to the Norton site and downloaded the thing, and neither one of them are showing that the virus
is
there.
That's what the virus does. Hides itself from the virus checkers.
Is that on our website now?
Yes, it already is.
Nick, just put up a link. If you go to our website...
Let me tell you what I've done, though, now. Now I've uninstalled McAfee.
That's okay. That doesn't make any difference. What I'd like you to do right now...
You already got a virus.
Because you already have a virus, it's going to stop you from updating or changing anything anyways.
So yeah.
What you have to do right now is get online, go to the soundbites.org website.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll down along the right-hand side. You will see I heard about this website. On the right-hand side, click there. And what's the link?
Down on the left, you want the Klez, right?
Yeah.
There's two columns. The right-hand column is an alphabetical list of all of the virus removal tools. Klez is listed under there, under K.
You want the bugbear.
If you want the stinger, that's in today's, on the left, it's at the very top of the list.
Go for the, Liz, I recommend you go with the, stinger virus removal. Because that will get rid of not only bugbear, if you happen to get that one, it will get rid of Klez, Elkern, which usually Elkern and Klez run together. There's also JS No Close, the IE Star. These are all viruses that are running around very rampant right now. I mean, I've been deleting them by the thousands each week. This one program will get rid of 16 different viruses, which one of them I think you have on your machine.
Okay, thank you.
So you download that program, put it in a little folder, double-click on the Stinger program. Once it self-extracts itself, a utility will open up and just click and go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. That's all it takes, nice and easy. Before we go on, I have to thank our best friends in the whole world.
Bill Gray.
The folks at Bill Gray's, the world's greatest cheeseburger for the world's greatest computer show. No matter what time we actually get on the air, the folks at Bill Gray's are there for us. God bless each and every one of them. They are magnificent folks.
Hold us through again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They pulled us through again, and we suggest that each and every one of you, when you need that refueling, think of Bill Gray's. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Thank you. Hi, great show, guys.
Thank you.
My question is, I have a Windows 95 machine.
Wow.
And I'm trying to play Free Cell on it. Okay. And what
he said he's trying.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is I can launch the game and the screen appears fine, but as soon as I click on new game, the screen gets very large and virtually makes the game unplayable.
Yeah. Yep. Here's a couple of problems you have here. One is that Free Cell is a hybrid game. It is part 16-bit and part 32-bit game. Unfortunately, under any version of Windows 95 lower than, I think, 2000, it doesn't really work tremendously well. I don't really have an answer for you. Part of it has to do with your driver for your video card.
Yeah, okay, I've upgraded that.
Yeah, but because it's a 16-bit driver for a 16-bit operating system, Windows 95.
Okay.
The 32-bit pieces of FreeCell are not going to talk to it correctly.
They're
going to
choke.
That will be true of any version of Windows below 2000, which was the first true 32-bit version of Windows.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I don't really have a better answer for you, and I wish I did.
Update to 98 if the machine will take it.
98 still may have problems, but should run a little better.
Okay.
But it's really until you get to 2000 or XP that you're going to really be able to run any 32-bit program fully.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Wish you had better news for me.
Me too. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure. And the reason for that, of course, is the FreeCell was really a kind of a hybrid thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way that works.
I wonder that it doesn't even run in, that it even does run under Windows 95.
Yeah, it's not how well the elephant dances, but the fact that it dances at all. Right, exactly. Our next caller, we're going to a car phone. Eric is, of course, pulled over to the side of the road and or using a hands-free set. How are you, Eric?
Very good. Hands-free is the answer.
There you go.
All right.
What's your question?
I have a three-and-a-half-year-old computer. It's a Dell with, I think it's a 600 or 700 megahertz. And it came with Windows 98, and I upgraded to Windows 2000 Pro 2 years ago for a particular reason. And then when I did that, I have a DVD drive that doesn't work anymore, and I wasn't able to ever get the driver to make it work.
Right.
And some of my kids' programs do not work.
Right.
So I'm gonna do two things. Either I'm gonna upgrade to XP, and I also have a 13 gig hard drive that I want to add another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if I should go to XP or if I should just partition the drive to have 98 and 2000 on each drive.
How much memory do you have in the machine?
I have 128 RAM, and I can upgrade that. I probably will wind up upgrading that anyway.
Yeah, I would definitely. If you're going to go, even if you're staying with 2000, if you're going to go up to XP, which definitely I think would be a better move for you because the DVD support would be better, at least 256, if not 512.
And if you're talking about putting in a second drive, and your BIOS will let you pick the boot drive. You still need Windows 2000 Pro for whatever work reason you needed it.
I don't need it anymore for any reason.
Then moving directly to XP might be your best bet. You can upgrade from 2000 to XP. You'll need to make sure you've got all the latest drivers for all your devices. And you'll get those from the websites of the manufacturers. But make sure you have all of those. Then do the upgrade, and you should be fine. If you're really worried about it, you can install it fresh on a fresh drive. But then you have to reinstall all your applications, like the Office Suite or whatever, because it won't read the registry on the other machine.
So programs, let's say programs for my kids, that worked on 98 that don't work on 2000.
Right.
They may work on XP.
One of the things you can do with any program on XP is right-click on it, on the program itself.
The program icon.
The actual icon of the program itself. And you get a drop-down menu. One of the choices on that drop-down menu is run...
It's compatibility mode.
Yeah, right. I was looking at something else entirely.
Yeah.
It's got compatibility mode.
And you can change it to 95, 98, the other operating system I won't mention, Windows 2000, and try those.
Right. You can also change the display settings and everything else for it. You right-click on it, select properties, and one of the tabs is compatibility. You pick the operating system you want, the number of colors, the size of the screen, everything.
Oh, that's nice. Now, is it Windows Home Edition or Pro?
The only difference between the two is that Home Edition will not allow itself to become a member on a Windows domain. You can only do peer-to-peer networking.
So if I just wanted a small home network, that's still fine.
Home? Yeah, it should be fine.
XP Home.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Jesse Graff, Amelia Francesco, and me, Nick Francesco, on the world's greatest computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Dorschel Chrysler Dodge and Jeep in Honeyoye Falls is now closer than you think. We're as close as your phone. This is Rick Dorsha with a special message for everyone shopping for a car, truck, minivan, or SUV. If you want the lowest price in New York State on a new Chrysler, Dodge, or Jeep, here's what you can do and what we will do to get it for you. First, do some homework. Shop around. Get as many prices as you like. Then call Dorshall Chrysler Dodge and Jeep in Honeoye Falls. Car for car, option for option, with or without a trade, we'll beat that so-called best price. You don't have to drive out with a signed sales order from another dealer. Just give us a call, and we'll beat the price. It's that easy. And to make it even easier, we'll bring your new Chrysler Dodge or Jeep to you. So go shopping and give us a call. We'll save you money and bring you your new car, truck, minivan, or SUV. Now that's as close as you can get. Dorshall Chrysler Dodge Jeep, 10 minutes south of Pittsford Plaza on Clover Street. Call today and save 624-3404. That's 624-3404.
Tired of constantly having your computer lock up on you? Have you experienced the infamous blue screen of death? Or is your computer just running too hot? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need FrozenCPU.com. FrozenCPU.com, a local internet-based company specializing in customized PC cases and products for cooling your overheated computers. FrozenCPU.com, considered by many the mecca for modified cases and cooling products. They have a huge selection of some of the premium cases available, ranging from Cooler Master and Lee & Lee to their famous Blizzard system, as well as cutting-edge Coolant's water-cooled cases. FrozenCPU.com cases start at only $99, including a 350-watt power supply. In addition to being your case headquarters, FrozenCPU.com also specializes in cooling your overheated computer. They carry top-of-the-line heat sinks like Thermalright, Alpha, SwiftTech, and all the fans you could ask for. FrozenCPU.com, your case and cooling system headquarters. Call Frozen CPU at 1-877-243-8266.
Go to foodtv.com and enter to win a 5-day trip to New York City and a chance to cook with Emeril on Emeril Live. Enter today at foodtv.com.
Looking for a great family outing this weekend? The fall harvest celebration is underway at Brown's Berry Patch. Or should we say Brown's Pumpkin Patch in Waterport? Kids will love the barnyard adventure with its corn maze, giant slide, and pumpkin playground. It's time to pick your own juicy apples from the orchards at Brown's Berry Patch. Take a tractor or horse-drawn hayride to pick a pumpkin from the patch. Get your face painted or make a scarecrow for your porch. The kids can take a pony ride or paint a pumpkin. Brown's Berry Patch specializes in bringing families together on great fall days. So round them up and experience Brown's Berry Patch this weekend. Remember to bring your appetite to Brown's Berry Patch for cider, donuts, candy apples, caramel apples, and great caramel apple pie ice cream sundaes. Visit the wonderful gift shop at Brown's Berry Patch. For directions and more details, check them out on the web at brownsberrypatch.com or call 682-5569.
Indulge yourself 5 days a week with double the fun and laughter of That 70 Show and Will and Grace, weeknights starting at 7 on WRWB-TV, Rochester's WB16.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Jesse Graff.
And I'm Amelia Francesco.
Nepotism lives on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And our next caller today is Jimmy from Rochester. Welcome, Jimmy. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I was wondering, I have HP, and it started out with Windows ME, but then I upgraded to Windows XP, and I was wondering if there's any way I can partition the hard drive to go down to Windows 98 Second Edition.
At least you didn't want to go back to ME.
That's the only reason we didn't take your microphone away. It is possible to put multiple versions of Windows on the same machine. Stop. Jeez, and crackers. Whatever he had for lunch today in his Bill Gray's thing, it sat well with him. Let's just put it that way. If you can partition it, you would be safer, however, if you can add a second drive.
Why do you want to go back to N98?
Because I play a game on the computer over the internet, mm-hmm. there's certain patches that they install,
yeah.
and the patches won't run, I can't really run the game well.
Have you tried, like we told the previous caller, right-clicking on that game icon and telling it to run in 98 mode?
Yeah, I did. You can't do it. It says on the patch, not compatible. Windows 98 and Windows XP.
You can. The problem is that when you run 98 and XP on the same hard drive, the problem is that so many program names are the same and so many directory names are the same.
I have a second hard drive on the computer.
There you go. Then what you can do is if you can set your BIOS to let you pick which drive you boot from, you can put it on the second drive.
But I was working on the site, and it told me that I needed to go in order. It had to go in order. I couldn't have a higher version of Windows and go backwards. It had to be in order from, like, the earliest
That's if they're on the same drive.
Right. If you've got another, say, 1 gig hard drive, and you set that, say, as your D drive, and you just load Windows 98 onto that D drive.
See, what you can do in the BIOS is pick your boot device. That device now becomes the C drive. So you could have 5 different hard drives in your machine, all running 5 different operating systems, and when each one boots, it thinks it's the C drive.
Matter of fact, there's a unique little device, a control panel.
And how would I do that?
What you do is, if in your BIOS, you are able to pick the boot device.
In other words, what we're saying here, Jim,
the setup program, when you boot the machine, it'll say, like, hit press F2 to enter setup.
Okay.
Okay. In there, you will have you look to see if you have a choice of what to boot from. Usually, it'll let you boot from your hard drive, floppy, or CD.
CD-ROM, or, well, usually hard drive, it'll say, if it's capable of doing that, it'll say drive 0, drive 1, drive 2, drive 3, drive 4. So if it says one of those, drive 0, of course, will be your C drive, your default. So you're looking to see if you're able to either, it'll say boot to this D drive or drive 1.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Okay.
And if you can do that, you set it to do that, and first you have to wipe out the drive, of course.
Yeah.
Then you can set it to boot from there. It should come up and say no operating system. Then reboot with your Windows CD in the drive and tell it that's the drive to go to.
Okay.
Just make sure you get it go to the right drive.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Yep.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. We'll be back in just a second with the callers.
Across town or around the world, we've got you covered. News Radio 1180, WHAM Rochester.
A clear channel radio station.
Yes, it is. And yes, we are Soundbites on that clear channel radio station. Our next caller, Jeff, who is also pulled over to the side of the road and or using a hands-free cell phone. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I have a problem with communications error with my printer. I have a HP 722C, which runs through a scanner on a parallel connection, and I keep getting errors that says I have lost communication with printer, and I have to reboot the system in order to get it to print.
What happens if you go right from the printer to the PC and take the scanner out of the loop?
I actually haven't tried that.
You should.
Yeah, you might want to try there because, see, now you're getting into, you got to do a little detective work here to find out whether it's a cable or whether it's a scanner or it's a cable going from the scanner to the printer.
Or it's the drivers interfering with each other.
The cheapest, I downloaded the newest drivers, and that didn't seem to help.
I tend to think it's one of the cables or devices in between because if it's losing the signal, it's sitting there, and it's got to go from the printer through the scanner, from the scanner through back into the PC. So that's what I'm saying. If you take that out of the equation, you can start narrowing it down.
Okay. I was looking at buying a another printer that was a USB connection to solve that problem.
Well, it would be a lot cheaper to just buy a second parallel port for, what, $15-$20
if you've
got a free slot and just plugging it in there. Set it up to be LPT2, and you're on your way.
Okay.
So, okey-doke.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And our next caller, Betsy, also on a car phone. What is it, like car phone day here?
Yeah, really.
Betsy, of course, either pulled over to the side of the road or calling hands-free. And Betsy's about to turn down her radio.
It is down.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Just happened to be passing through the area and picked up your show, so I don't have my computer handy. But basically...
Why not?
My scanner is a... HP 4100C, I think, and I had the computer upgraded to a Windows 98 with some other upgrades involved too, and ever since that, my scanner doesn't work. It says, every time I try to use it, it says that it's being used somewhere else. It's open.
All right, Betsy, here's what you're going to have to do. You've got 98 second edition on that machine?
Yeah. Okay. I can hardly hear you, too.
All right, here's what you're going to want to do.
Okay.
With HP scanners, what you've got to do is first unhook the scanner.
Unhook it, okay.
All right, and go into the add remove programs and remove the scanner software.
Okay.
All right, you shut the machine down, bring it back up. Now, here's the tricky part with HP. You've got to put the CD back in for the scanner.
Yeah.
Have it reload it.
Okay.
Then you shut the machine down, and you have to rehook up the scanner.
Okay. Notice you've installed the software without the scanner hooked up.
Right.
Okay.
That's the key thing.
Okay.
The scanner can't be hooked up when you reinstall it. Once you reinstall the software, you shut it down, hook the scanner back up, and all of a sudden the Windows 98 is going to say, oh, I found the scanner.
Oh,
it'll
okay.
have the drivers, and that should work for you.
Okay.
Betsy, where are you from?
Dannemora, New York.
Where?
It's near Plattsburgh.
The charming town of Plattsburgh on scenic Lake Champlain.
Yep.
You may not actually get us there, but you'll have to talk to your local Clear Channel affiliate and ask them why the heck they're not carrying us.
And you can always go to our website and listen to older shows if you happen to miss one.
And join us in our forums.
Okay. I've written it down, so I'll do that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you weren't driving, Betsy. we're gonna go to a landline phone call now because I can't stand these people driving and talking. We're going to talk to Gary from Greece next. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, good show again.
Thank you.
Can you do an upgrade to Windows 98 SE from... Windows 95 program?
Yes, absolutely.
No problem.
In fact, we recommend it highly.
How much memory do you have in your machine, though, first? How much? Gary, here's the key thing.
We seem to have lost Gary. Keep talking.
Gary, here's the key thing. When you if you're going to go from Windows 95 up to 98, one is going to take a little more disk space, but you're also going to want to make sure that you have at least 64 meg of memory. Windows 95 will run in 32. Windows 98 needs at least 64 meg. So before doing that, definitely get more memory.
And we're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Jesse Graff, Amelia Francesco, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's finest and most intelligent radio show, Soundbite, on 1180. WHAM.
When considering a trade, you want to make sure you're making out better than the other guy. Let's say you've got an old wireless phone you'd like to trade for a nice new wireless phone. Radio Shack's ready to make that trade. Just bring them your old phone and get $50 to $100 in rebates toward a new next-generation phone with color screen and the latest technology. So trade up today at Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers. Offers for new customers who buy and activate a two-year contract on specific rate plans with qualifying local carrier by 10/30/102. Credit approval up to $175 early termination and $35 activation fees apply. Details in store.
You know, the fall harness racing season is going strong at Batavia Downs.
Wanna bet? It's the time of year you love going to dinner more
and being outdoors less.
Right. That's why I'm excited about the new clubhouse opening soon at Batavia Downs. I hear it's going to be one of the finest restaurants in Western New York. Plus, Batavia Downs has the fun of harness racing, a party atmosphere, and lots of fun people.
And with a great new restaurant in the clubhouse soon. I love everything about it.
Great. Because next week when my mother's in town, the three of us can spend a whole week there.
Wanna bet?
It's grand reopening week at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs reopens Wednesday, October 9th through Saturday, with races starting at 7:35 p.m. Festivities nightly. Free admission, free parking. Make your reservations for grand opening week at the new state-of-the-art clubhouse. Call 343-3750. If you can't get there for the fun, go to an OTV parlor near you for the live action. We bet you're going to love the Holiday Inn Racing Meet at Batavia Downs.
Everybody's going to Wilson Farms because we got what you want. And we got it right now.
You're on the run, so save time and money with a quick stop into your neighborhood Wilson Farms or Sugar Creek. For just 99 cents, pick up a half gallon of milk or a dozen extra large farm fresh eggs. Don't forget the OJ. Get your vitamin C and get 2 half gallons of Wilson Farms orange juice for just $3. We've got the scoop on your sweet tooth, too, with savings on Country Goodness ice cream. Choose your favorite flavors and get 2 half gallons for just $4. Stock that fridge with all new Top Spin Cola. Available in assorted varieties, 2 12-packs are just $5. Plus, Budweiser 18-packs are only $9.99 plus deposit. Enter our Travel with a Team sweepstakes and win a trip to the Bills' next road game. Airfare, accommodations, and tickets included. No purchase necessary. Only at Wilson Farms or Sugar Creek, your neighborhood food stores.
Because we got what you want, and we got it right now.
For all your computer needs, call Green Shield Computer Services toll-free at 1-800-544-9580. Located in Rochester at 1370 Hudson Avenue, just south of Route 104. Green Shield is a full-service computer firm that's been helping individuals and businesses since 1984. They'll build, install, maintain, and network both your home and work computers. Green Shield is open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 till 4. So, yeah, call them right now. That's right now at 1-800-544-9580. Green Shield can also provide your website development, hosting, email, and domain name registration. And Green Shield is an approved Corral business education, government, and legal partner. Call them right now, toll free at 1-800-544-9580. That's 1-800-544-9580. Or you can send them an email to computers@greenshield.net. Remember the name, Green Shield Computer Services, part of the Green Shield Group, established in 1967.
Is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Jesse Graff.
And I'm Amelia Francesca.
And you are listening to Sound Bites. Please don't forget to vote in our poll, which is about Bluetooth-enabled devices. We've got 88 votes so far, and only 3 of you have a Bluetooth-enabled device. Our next caller is Mike from Fairport, New York. Mike, what's your question? Mike, are you there? Hello, Mike.
There's Frank from Fairport.
How about Frank from Fairport?
Well, you the hell?
We'll talk to Frank. Go for it.
I got a question. I got a Windows 98 second edition, and recently I've had trouble opening JPEGs. And when they open, like with Internet Explorer, just a little red X shows up in the upper left-hand corner. But if I attach those, like in AOL and send them, it can preview and see them. But and I'm not sure why it's doing that.
What did you recently install any sort of graphics program? Or did you recently install AOL?
No.
What it sounds like, when you double-click on a JPEG, what program opens up?
Yeah.
If I select it with either Internet Explorer or just Windows Explorer.
No, that wasn't my question.
Right.
If you double-click on a JPEG,
say in Windows Explorer, you're looking at all your files.
If I double-click in there, Internet Explorer opens the JPEG.
But it comes up as a blank.
Yeah, with just a little red X in the upper left.
Preview turned off?
Yeah, did you turn off your preview? If you go up to Tools, I'm doggone it, I'm not running Internet Explorer. Hold on, I'm sliding over to another machine here. If you go up to Tools and select Internet Options,
okay.
Go to Advanced, under Browsing, if you run down, Multimedia, scroll down. One of the choices will be to show pictures. And that if that's not checked...
Yeah, it is checked. Show pictures is checked.
Is show image download placeholders checked?
No.
The one right above it? No.
That one's not checked.
Okay, is the top one checked? Don't display online media content.
Under multimedia,
what's your first one?
My first one is always show Internet Explorer 5.0 or later radio toolbar.
Oh, yeah, you got a different version than I do. Okay.
What version of Internet Explorer are you running?
I think it's 6, but let me take a quick look here.
What I might suggest you Mike, upgrade to 6. There were some problems with 5.5, and it sounds like something you installed changed DLL.
Because, they wound up doing like 3 or 4 service packs.
Right. Upgrade to 6, and you should be fine.
Okay, I'll try that.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Our next caller is Brad from the from Fillmore, New York. I was confused. Go ahead, Brad. What's your question?
I got a quick question. Hopefully it's a quick question.
Question
I got a Windows 2000 computer. And I got an older Windows upgraded computer from 95 to 98. It's not second edition. It's just 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to network them together. And what I get is telling me I haven't had a problem before. These two computers are giving me a problem.
Right.
What the Windows 98 computer is telling me is when I go click on it, it says I need a password. And it's giving me a name for the 2000 computer that I haven't seen before. It's like an LPCS dollar sign.
Right. It's trying to get to the C drive.
Now, if I go to the 2000, I can read the 98.
Right. What you've got to do.
I can't go the other way around.
Right. What you've got to do is set the Windows 98 machine. So you got to go over to the Windows 2000 machine and put in that user that's trying to get in, which is your 98 machine. So whatever the name of the machine is that you're using to identify your logon to get into that 98 machine.
Whatever user you have on that machine.
You have to set that user up in the Windows 2000 machine to gain access.
So do I do that under the administrator, or
yes,
do I have to do that somewhere else?
No, under administrator, you got to sit there and set that person up and give them rights.
Go to user manager and add them as a user and give them the right to do stuff.
Okay, user manager, right.
You got
that's
it.
That's what I wanted.
That's there what you're go. Getting then. Our next caller, do we have about 3-4 minutes left? John from Geneva. Welcome, John.
Hey.
What's your question?
We got a computer, just got it. Had it about a month on Time Warner Cable. And the other night, I'm not computer literate at all, and my daughter's been coaching me through this thing. But anyways, turned on the computer, and the mouse doesn't work. There's no arrow or anything on the screen, so we can't use the computer. The kids blame me. They said I shut the computer off without...
What version of Windows are you running?
ME.
Stop it, Dave. We don't have time.
Many errors.
There are a lot of problems with ME, particularly if you turn the machine off accidentally. How fast is your machine?
Oh, I got no idea. It's slow.
Okay. You might want to see if, well, doggone it. What you might want to do is reload ME on top of itself.
Yeah.
You might also want to look at getting, once you do that and it's running, get online and download the latest set of drivers for your video card for Windows ME. If your machine is 500 megahertz or faster, you might want to think about going to XP.
Yeah, XP Home.
Which would be, for, in general, just a more stable and better operating system.
Strange thing is, after they accused me of shutting it off wrong, I turned it on later, and I was able to type an email to my daughter and send it, and everything worked all right. But it was after that that wouldn't come on.
Yeah.
Double-check the mouse connection in the back. Make sure it didn't pull loose.
Well, we did that. We plugged in a different mouse, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
You think it's more major than...
It may be a hardware problem. It could be that the mouse port is damaged. But I'm afraid we're out of time. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank the folks at Time Warner. At Wham!
Hello.
For sandwiching us in between the sports events. This will happen again next week as Syracuse is again on at noon, but we'll be on after that. Dave Enright, Jesse Graff, Amelia Francesco, and me, Nick Francesco, thanking you for listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.